Relationships, religion, reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. Beautiful humans catching that buzz. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, August 8th, 2012. The only August 8th, 2012 in the history of humanity.
Everybody's saying that the lights don't shine, but the lights shine down on me. Got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. I met him in the parking lot, he took me in his car. I got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. He rode around all afternoon, he sold me his guitar. I got a new friend, and my new friend's name is Jesus. Now people give me sideways looks when we set up on the strand. It's hard to suck with Jesus in your band. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you. You'd be so impressed with me. Give yourself right up to me.
You'd be so impressed with me. You'd give yourself right up to me. Welcome in, beautiful humans, on this excursion into all things liberty, all things freedom, all things good news. This is Glenn Klein Online, inviting you to enjoy the next 60 minutes of discussion and to participate if you're listening live. If you're listening live, it's about 4 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, and the very handsome and talented Sean O'Halloran is to my immediate right, ready to take your phone calls all over the planet at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. If you're listening live, if it's Wednesday night, if it's now 5 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the good old U.S. of A., you're listening live. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your comments, your questions. You're listening. We know you're listening. We want to hear your comments and your thoughts tonight. Toll-free in North America at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Well, we talk about on the program, as I said, all things pertaining to liberty. When you get right down to it, pertaining to logic and common sense, had a situation here in the U.S. yesterday where the great state of Texas executed another prisoner, this one by the name of Marvin Wilson, who is said to have a IQ of 61. And they're not supposed to execute people with IQs lower than 70, but apparently they rounded it up there in the Lone Star State. And based on the crimes that he was convicted of were heinous enough that I guess that made up for the other 9 IQ points. But here is what Marvin Wilson said prior to the state of Texas killing him yesterday. He said, "Y'all do understand that I came here a sinner and leaving a saint. Take me home, Jesus. Take me home, Lord. Take me home, Lord." Here's a man of a 61 IQ who says that he was a sinner when he went into prison. Even in those statements, perhaps you could infer that there was an acknowledgement of guilt. But because something happened to him in prison, my assumption is that he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He now considers himself a saint. You guys, let me tell all the beautiful humans out there, as well as all the Christians, the well-intentioned Christians that are in our listening audience, there is absolutely nothing in what Christianity calls the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. There is nothing in that compilation of writings that says that one must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in order to be considered a saint, and therefore be in the category of righteous as far as God is concerned. And therefore, when you're executed by the state of Texas, or however you spend your last breaths on earth, that you do not go to hell, H-E double hockey sticks, that you would go to heaven. There's nothing in that writing that indicates that there is a requirement of accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You think, Sean, that if it was that important, it would be in there somewhere, but believe me, I've looked into it. I've done some extensive research, and it ain't in there once. Aren't you glad to know that?
I'm glad to know that.
And?
And just got to think about, what about all the people that, you know, those isolated African tribes that have barely, you know, probably never even seen a white man? How would they have even heard of this before?
So what you're saying is that they're actually fortunate they have not seen a white man yet?
Probably.
One could make that argument, could not one?
Yeah.
Yes, and the reality is, you guys, that whether it be the white man's religion or the Jewish religion or the Christian religion or the Muslim religion or the Confucius religion or the Buddhist religion or the Hindu religion or the Sikh religion, God bless those people in Wisconsin who lost loved ones and that were assaulted by that apparent white supremacist in the great state of Wisconsin, my former home state. All those people that died went immediately to heaven, including the guy who shot himself who did all the killing. That is the profound nature of the righteousness of God. That is my conviction. We're going to be talking about that as the program rolls on, so you're going to want to stay logged on to for that. And feel free to jump in on the conversation right now at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number to call. 1-800-436-3260. But now we're going to shift gears a little bit, although someone who knows very much about this topic.
Don't criticize it.
That's what you call a teaser, you guys. We're going to be talking about your righteousness and about the importance of understanding one's righteousness as a saint of God as opposed to a sinner as we continue on this program. But for now, let us, as I said, shift gears a little bit and, as promised on an earlier webcast, get an update from a man who knows that evangelical Christian mindset oh so well. Please welcome online our Hawaii correspondent of the Good News. Please say hello to our good friend Steve Trueblood. Blood!
Aloha.
Aloha, bro.
From beautiful Hawaii.
So it's about, what's it about? It's about 3:10 in the afternoon.
It is 3:10 in the afternoon, about 82 degrees, 15 mile an hour trade wind. Pretty nice.
It's not 4:20 yet, but there's something, I'm just going to say that someone may have been partaking earlier than the 4:20 allotted time.
No, I follow Willie Nelson's advice and always do that before interviews. It helps you to stay clear in your thoughts and not ramble on. So,
did you ever see the Willie Nelson interview with Larry King when Larry King directly asked him if he smoked before the interview? And he goes, yeah, I did. Larry King, I think his suspenders were about to burst on that one.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be honest about it, you know, because a lot of times you got to hide that, and it's wrong. We live in a society where we got 30, 40 million people who are smoking pot as recreational drug, and, you know, our friends are going to jail because of it, especially here. They have an air assault squad that raids people's homes around here. Two helicopters, they rappel down into your yard. It's called Project Green Harvest. And that's one of the things they're working on to stop that.
Is that a city thing, or is it a state thing, or is it a federal thing?
It was in different areas of the state, but Maui is such a growing area that it's predominantly here. It's funded by the DEA, and we have a Freedom of Information request to see who else is participating in the funding. But they violate all your constitutional rights by flying over your house. You know, they violate the FAA minimum flight ceiling of 1,000 feet. They come under that. And just, it's like tapping everybody's phone on the block hoping you hear something. You know,
That's pretty much what we have right now, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
But on this island,
it's called the Patriot Act here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. But these islands are pretty independent as a whole. But as an individual island, this is a very independent island. And if people are at the point where they're pissed off, they're going to show it. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm working with. They burn sugarcane here as part of the harvest, and it looks like a nuclear mushroom cloud. And it drops this black charred stuff like you get on corn when you barbecue corn. And they call it Hawaiian snow. And it drops over the neighborhoods. People can't go out of their houses for 2 days. And they continue to do it. It's like dumping 55-gallon drums of toxic chemicals into Love's Canal. You know, they get away with it because it looks like they got the power to get away with it, but they don't.
Well, they do as long as the folks continue to let them have the power. What do they call that helicopter drop-in deal? What's that operation?
It's Operation Green Harvest.
Now, is that the most heinous ripoff of what should be a green harvest as you've ever heard in your entire... I mean, that is absolutely hideous.
Kind of like Operation Iraqi Freedom or a few of those.
Yeah, a few of those. That's exactly right. But this is particularly absurd. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Steve Trueblood in Maui, Hawaii. We're going to be talking about the 2012 Maui Hemp Fest, which is progressing. You'll be happy to know, all you guys that care about liberty and freedom. And we're welcoming your calls at 813-425-5773. That is the worldwide number, 813-425-5773. You can call us toll-free in North America at 1-800-436-3260. We're going to be talking with the founder of the 2012 Maui Hemp Fest about it momentarily. But, Steve, you heard my talk and my little monologue at the beginning about this guy who was executed yesterday in Texas. He had committed some murders. He was apparently significantly mentally challenged, but not enough to know, according to Christian doctrine, that he was good to go as far as heaven was concerned, or as far as his transition from being a sinner to a saint. You're a guy who was a longtime evangelical, charismatic, fundamentalist minister. You founded the Freedom Council in Wisconsin. You were on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson. You were a major player in Wisconsin Republican conservative politics. when people look at you today and you're founding the 2012 Maui Hemp Fest, and they're saying Steve literally has lost his soul and he's backslidden. If he's not careful, he's on his way to hell. What do you tell them?
And the slippery slope to ATW.
Yeah. You don't seem to be too concerned.
Well, it's kind of funny because I sent you that email that that one guy sent, who was a good friend of mine from Evangelical Christianity. You know, he sees all my projects I work on, and he sent the email that said even Jesus would like this one. You know, there's nothing evil inherent in commercial hemp, and actually, there's more evil inherent in sugarcane and what it does to your body, the land, and to the air, than what commercial hemp is a super crop. It's a wonder crop. So I don't have any problem with that on that level. The other thing is, you and I sat in, where were we at? Rice Lake. Sat in some bar in Rice Lake. Somewhere I still have the little bar napkin we wrote it on. And after spending 21 years in conservative Republican politics, working for people like Paul Ryan and Mark Newman and all these people who are now, you know, running again for other stuff, I realized the system was broken and that there's no way of fixing it within the system, and all they do well is run for office and raise money and keep their jobs because they have such power of incumbency. So we came up, or I came up with your help, with America's New Way Forward, the Solution Revolution, and my desire was to come towards the middle, to the centrist population where we really all live, and come up with solutions outside of government's influence, influence of all the pork barrel projects, lobbyists, money, special interests, and come up with sound solutions and then bring it to the people, convince the people that it's a good choice, even though it might not be everything they want, and then through that, come back and convince the politicians this is what we the people want. And that's what we're playing out right here in front of your eyes in Maui County, Hawaii, USA, where we're going to convince 30-some thousand people that we should replace sugarcane with hemp and stop Operation Green Harvest, and first to stop the burning of everything, and then the other two things as well. So,
see, this is why, beautiful humans, that Steve Trueblood is a great politician, because I asked him a very potentially incendiary question about religion, and you see how he stayed on message, John? That was absolute. Dude, there's no wonder George W. Bush's campaign wanted you to work for him.
I got it. I got a note in front of me that says, no matter what, don't talk about religion. No.
No.
And you know what? And sorry to sidestep you, but to go back real quickly, I'm thankful. I'm not as concerned what his theology was, but for where he was in his life, I'm thankful that he had something to hold on to in a nation where we've made so many mistakes in executing people. We should never do it again. But I'm glad that, when, as simple as he was, that he had something to...
No, absolutely. It's got nothing to do with him specifically.
No, it was just a line that he was sold, and you
right.
know, we...
When people realize, you guys, that they are righteous, even under the dogma of Christianity, which is a momentary thing, because then, of course, they start heaping all the do's and don'ts on you, of course your soul can be lifted, and it should be lifted. We're going to be talking about that later on the program, the influence and the impact on one's soul, and why this message of the gospel, the good news, is so important, regardless of what you believe or don't believe. But I really appreciate you mentioning, Steve, that we should never kill another person from the state or from the federal government, because the truth is, and frankly, you guys, we're all about the truth on the program. The truth is we execute and have executed innocent people, and I'm not cool with that.
Well, look at that dude in Chicago that won, Captain John, not Froger, but they tortured people for confessions. And they got confessions, and these people went to prison for murder and rapes for 15, 20, 30 years. And then it all comes out, you know, that he had his whole squad. It was a big game for them. They didn't have to chase down the criminal. They just had to grab somebody that could look guilty, you know, and grab enough of them they could pin it on one of them. That's how sadistic this police state is, and people need to understand that. This isn't just us standing up for our rights and the wall, you know, the Occupy Wall Street. these are people who are coming for war against us. And up until now, we weren't really fighting back. So we need to change our culture and become a whole lot more peaceful.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. This is Glenn Klein Online. That is our Hawaiian correspondent, Steve Trueblood, who is also the founder of the 2012 Maui Hemp Fest in beautiful Maui. And, Steve, you gave a little bit of an idea of why you're doing this. What was your initial reason, and how did this concept, in your mind, come about after you arrived on the island, about 8 months ago?
5 months.
5 months.
I was going, somebody was taking me to an event, and we were riding past the cane fields, and there was this huge fire, and I, you know, in Wisconsin, if a cornfield started on fire, that would be a major thing, you know, to stop it from spreading. And the girl I was driving with said, no, that's how they harvest it. And I'm like, they what? Well, they burn all of it, and then what's left is really the part they use to make the cane sugar from. And so it's actually the way they get rid of all the waste. But they burn all the irrigation pipes right up with it. And so she's telling me this, and I'm going, how the hell can you get away with that today? You know, and then she says, oh, but when they, every once in a while, they dump this acid on the sugar, and that's what turns it white, your table sugar, this acid. And she said it smells so bad that people get sick and throw up all over. And when they burn it, people can't go out for a couple of days because of the stuff in the air. And I just thought, you know, in my mind, I thought, that's just crazy that can take place and that people would actually be poisoning their neighbors in the name of profit. And sugar cane is a heavily subsidized crop. They don't even make money off the crop, just the subsidies.
Right. So all they have to do is grow it and burn it. So they don't have to worry really if it does grow effectively, like a corn farmer in Wisconsin or Iowa or wherever. Whatever grows, they grow and they burn it. Why would anybody turn it over from that, where they're guaranteed the subsidy from the government, even though it is incredibly polluting and completely unproductive as far as their pocketbooks are concerned? Why would they go from that to having to hope that the weather is good and actually having to harvest and actually having to have a good crop? Why would they do that with hemp?
Well, it wouldn't be that quick of a process. If I could design the process myself, what I would do would be to ask the federal government to keep the subsidy in place to build the infrastructure around a new commercial hemp community where they can build factories for textile and use that money for that. But the reason they would do it is for several reasons. One is they're going to get sued and they're going to be forced to stop burning it, and that's going to add a huge expense to their production.
Who's going to sue them?
There's a whole group of people that live down in Kihei, which is an area that really gets pummeled by the smoke. But there's several lawyers that I've talked to that want to sue against them to stop it. And then the other reasons is this actually, they've been taking money for the last 2 years to test replacement crops. They just haven't tested hemp because it's not legal. And this would actually play to their benefit because it would open brand new markets to them around the world. And they would have a huge market here and a huge workforce here that could immediately be put back to work. So it would be the best thing to happen to their economy. And that's what we're going to do with this issue here. We're going to make it the number one issue for both the economy and the environment because of the burning and because the economy in Maui sucks. I mean, it's a lot like Florida where you got, you know, tourists who come through and vacationers who come through and old people who come through. And then the rest of the people have to, you know, work for 10, 15 bucks an hour trying to make a living. And it's a lot like that here. So this gives new hope, and people see it as that, and it's a very popular issue. You know, I've kind of tied it to the other issues of green harvest because that's just flat out wrong to me that they can do it. And we're going to go around bit by bit and convince people. I've been working day labor every day to make money to pay for all the brochures and stuff. Right now we're doing a money bomb so people can go to our website and participate in that if they want.
What is the website?
It's 2012mauihempfest.com. And there'll be a little picture of George on there and a donate button, a little George saying, I grew hemp.
Which George Washington, that's the George you're referencing.
Yeah.
Not
the other George.
he did grow hemp.
Oh, I know. Probably both of them grew hemp.
Well, we know that one smoked it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that that 2012 MauiHempFest.com was available. That is shocking.
Yeah, I got Maui Hemp Fest 2 and MHF 2012 MHF because I'm tired of typing in all that letters. I want one that I could go quickly to. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's coming together. The first page is up. He's doing the rest of the pages. And
News coverage have you had so far?
We haven't had any. I'm negotiating with a guy who does the Maui Times, which is like a magazine, weekly newspaper, free thing. And I want him to do an exclusive because he's in his articles. He's always complaining about the sugarcane company and how they're so big and powerful. And I told him they're not powerful. They're just welfare bums. They're just people living off the federal dole, you know, and driving around in nice cars. So we can take them on because if we can get the power of the people and expose that, can do it. So I've been trying to get him to do an exclusive, but otherwise the media here has not been responsive at all.
Well, I can give you some advice on that, and I will be more than happy to do that.
Sure.
2012 MauiFest.com. MauiHempFest.com. I've got the proof for the HempFest T-shirt, the first proof, bro. Uh-huh. But you got to fix the fonts on the shirt, dude. Especially if you're stoned trying to read it, forget about it. You got
to
have.
Well, you'll have to mail me back and let me know which ones because I might have sent you the draft.
I just got the first one. But when is the date of this thing now?
27th and 28th
of
October.
Okay, so we got some time, and you'll come back and keep us updated. You got a donation.
Oh, you bet.
You got a donation, didn't you?
Who, me?
Yeah, who was your major donor? You teased us last time.
No, I haven't checked. Those are people who wrote who are going to be majors who asked me, but I've determined not to look until the end of the week.
All right.
So I don't know what came in, but no, right now I've got the biggest one we had was still Woody Harrelson. So
Woody Harrelson donated, right?
Yeah, $500.
$500 for Woody Harrelson.
There you go.
My 50 cents is on the way. That's a bit, probably.
It kind of feels like you're on one of those television evangelist shows. You know, it's like, yeah, we got 50 cents from Glenn.
Oh yeah, we often did with the Gospel Revolution, the pledge drive. Know all about it. Love it. No, not really. I love you though. Thank you.
Likewise, love you, brother. Thank you for your coverage.
All right, we'll keep everybody posted. Thanks, bro.
All right, aloha.
There he goes, aloha, Steve Trueblood, the founder of 2012 Maui Hemp Fest. Go to 2012MauiHempFest.com. We will be right back with much more right here on the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. The Good News on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by TheGuruOfGratitude.com. TheGuruOfGratitude.com. Get paid being nice. Call for more information, 888-493-7482. 888-493-7482. TheGuruOfGratitude.com. Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, on this Wednesday night. Hope you are enjoying the ride. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's good news. You guys, good news is anything that brings clarity, that brings enlightenment, that brings forward motion, progress. But the good news, above all else, is the gospel. That is literally what the gospel means. When people say things to you like, well, that's the gospel truth. Somehow the word gospel got so screwed up in our modern vernacular that it could mean pretty much anything. But the word gospel actually means something. And it's good to know. It's good to know that it actually means good news. It's the ultimate good news. It's good news to know that people are moving forward with projects like Steve Trueblood is in Hawaii. to bring obviously a common sense approach to a major economic and social problem, not only where he's living, but all over the country, furthermore, all over the world. It's good news when we know that people of every sexual orientation in this country and in many places around the world are being considered equal. That's good news. It's good news when people do wonderful things for each other, when people do random acts of kindness. But the best news that everybody can share in and that everybody needs to share in is to know that they are perfect and righteous and holy and sinless and blameless and without spot or wrinkle in the sight of Almighty God. And if there is a God, and if you believe in a God, it's information, it's news, it's good news that you need to know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that it is time, once again, for Chris Harrington's Reality. Please welcome online now our reality correspondent from the great state of Texas, the aforementioned great state of Texas, who killed another guy last night. Please say hello to Mr. Chris Harrington. Chris!
Good evening. How are we doing, Glenn?
Chris, I am doing wonderfully. How are you?
Awesome. It's been a very interesting week down in Houston.
Oh, you're in Houston way, are you?
I'm traveling. Yes, sir. You bet.
Right on. Well, were you aware that your great state executed somebody yesterday?
It happens all the time. In fact, I think we're so dulled to it, we just don't think about it anymore. It was a day with a Y in it.
That's it was a day with a Y in it. We talked, yep. I don't know if you caught it earlier, about why I am very much against the death penalty. But this young man, who was in his 50s, I guess, at this point, Marvin Wilson, who was said to have an IQ of 61, said before he passed away, before he was executed, before he was killed by us. You guys, he was killed by us. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
When somebody's killed in the name of the state, they are killed by us. And so we killed a mentally challenged man today who committed murder. But he said, his last words were, y'all, I came in here a sinner, but I'm going out a saint. And
there you go.
Yeah. And so as True Blood said before you came on, Chris, he said, well, he had some lightening of the load. He had some understanding. But how much better would it be if people understood that they actually were saints from the time that they were conceived?
It's a very interesting question. It's an academic question for some people and for other people purely a spiritual question. But I think that part of it is the system that we live in, and part of it is expectations, and it's a very complex question.
Well, we've got some time, my friend, Chris Harrington's Reality. The reality, of course, for most of people in Western civilization is they believe that they were born in sin, because that's what Christianity teaches, that we literally were born in iniquity, and that it takes faith and repentance to make one a saint, to make one righteous. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church would not call people who are in a state of repentance or a state of faith, if you will, as a saint. That takes something later. But
well, I find it interesting that we pre-assume that everyone has a Christian stance and that they all believe the same way, even though we profess that we have freedom of religion. We pre-assume that everyone is to be seen under the guise of Christian laws and principles. I find that interesting.
No, I wouldn't say that everybody's under Christian laws and principles, but certainly a serious Christian influence. I mean, if you would ask, for example, the Canadian or American public, if the guy that killed all those people at the Sikh temple, in Wisconsin went to heaven or hell. Just period. Did they go? Right. If there is a heaven, if there's a hell, where did he go? The vast majority of people, regardless of what rules or religion they're under, they would say he went to hell. Where do you think he went? That the shooter of the people in Wisconsin.
I think that, you know, that you have to start at the very beginning, you know, and ask yourself whether or not that's concept that all people absolutely share, or whether or not that's a reactive thing that comes from our culture. I don't really think that every person in the United States or every person in Canada actually prescribes to that concept. And so it's a reactive sort of a thing. Yeah, go to hell. In other words, we disagree with his behavior. It was not effective citizenship, and therefore the reaction that you give is, "Yeah, gonna go to hell."
It wasn't effective.
But what
citizenship.
Do they actually believe?
Wait! You just said what that guy did in Wisconsin was not effective citizenship. I like that. Only Chris Harrington, ladies and gentlemen, of Chris Harrington's reality could have called what happened in Wisconsin the other day as not effective citizenship. I like that.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of people who would react to that, and I would ask whether or not that's the most responsive thing that they could do, whether or not that's the most effective way to communicate, is to simply have what I would think of as, this just, again, my reality, a knee-jerk reaction to what someone has done. Certainly, as an individual act, this person did something that was heinous and reprehensible, but at the same time, in a minute way, through our own agency in so many ways, paying our taxes or inadvertently along the highway, we do lots of really horrible things, but we don't think of it because we don't see ourselves as agents of destruction. We just are simply making our way through the world, and things happen. And so it's a matter of perspective in a relative form. But I think that we have to really ask the more basic questions. What do we mean by hell, and how would that come about? And is that really something that's biblical or something that's logical? And I think a lot of people, I agree with you, would say yes. But upon examination, I would also say that there are a lot of people who disagree with that, and some people who have a lot of problems with it.
Right. Well, there's
I don't take it for granted.
Right. Well, there's no doubt that more and more people are questioning it. I mean, the so-called grace movement within
sure.
and coming out of Christianity is just growing and growing and growing. I think that I would stand by this, that the vast majority of people in even Western civilization, that if you had to make a choice between does this guy go to heaven, does this guy go to hell, the vast majority of people are going to say hell, even if they don't subscribe to Christianity, if you just directly
sure.
ask them, because the
I hear you say that.
Because the influence of Christianity is that we are rewarded, whatever eternity is like, we are rewarded for based on what we do on this planet. And what say you?
And I think that's a religious point of view, but it's not necessarily a spiritual point of view. I mean, I think that's where a lot of people have had a lot of issues with modern religion, with fundamentalist religion, where dogmas have taken them to very dark places. In a lot of ways, there's an illogic there that makes you do and say and think things that you know are not going to turn out for you. Ultimately, there is going to be something there that dogmatically makes you make choices that you want to disagree with, but you can't get out of it. I mean, this is basic Melville thinking, you know, the Billy Budd principle, where the guy can't talk, he can't really think straight because he's been told that he's done something, and the captain's been apprised by Claggart that Billy Budd has said something horrible and wants to mutiny, and it's a bullface lie, and Billy Budd can't say anything about it, and so he ends up hitting Claggart up the side of the head, and it kills it, one blow. Now, the people on board the boat, they don't want for Billy Budd to have to hang for that, but he's hit an officer and killed him, and that's a lethal, it's an offense that brings a lethal consequence. And so with heavy eyes and heavy heart, captain looks at him and says, "We're going to hang you." And Billy Budd says, "I know." And everybody's there and they're all weeping. But nevertheless, they have to, because the rule states this is what has to happen. And all of us know that the rules sometimes are wrong. All of us know that sometimes it doesn't work out that way, even though the rules are written that way. Or even though we have this perception, logically, in our society, that things are supposed to work out a certain way, but that on the cosmic scale, on the God scale, on the agape scale, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And there are plenty of examples like that.
Like what? Give one.
Where we disagree. For example, if you take someone who's mentally challenged and you say, "This person's mentally challenged, do you believe that he has the competency to be able to make a real differentiation between right and wrong?" And most people would say no. And yet today, what did the state of Texas do? They determined a guy who has a 61, all right, so that he's TMR, trainable mentally retarded. That means that he has the most basic competency to be able to actually operate in the world. And on that basic competency, barely able to compute at all, the guy has been put to death. I'm sure that they went through this in the courts and they really worked it out and they finally rationalized and they made it. But most people, I think, looking at the situation would say, there's no way we can try this guy in terms of his being a peer with the average person
right.
in the United States who has an IQ of 100.
Right. Well, in this case...
And yet the people who are making most of these decisions are people who are in the upper 20% or so of intellect, that is at 120 or above. In fact, I think it's only 20% of the people have an IQ of 115.
Or
and that's not genius level. That's just, you know, working at better than average, 115. And so what you have is the majority of the legislation and whatnot made by people of a higher intellect, a smaller group, and those people are making like the three-strike rule where you do something the third time and you're done. You're off to jail forever. And yet that third thing might be something as simple as, stealing Twinkies or whatnot. I'm not sure what the real examples are, but something small could send you off for the third time, and that would be the end of your life.
Yeah, if you get caught. This is Glenn Klein
yeah,
Online.
If you get caught.
Yeah, this is Glenn Klein Online. That is Chris Harrington's Reality. We're taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Let's please welcome online right now. From the great state of Wisconsin, please say hello to our senior correspondent from the Midwest, Mr. Pep Washburn. Pep!
Hello, Glenn.
All right.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, buddy.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm listening to you, and what's coming to mind is the schizophrenic and rigid upbringing that I experienced up through my adolescence until I could start to stand on my own 2 feet a little bit and
sure.
actually verbalize some questions after I had my prefrontal lobe developed. I want to give you a little example. I was raised in a fundamentalist home.
Yeah.
Glenn mentioned earlier about the grace movement, you know, gaining momentum. And this fundamentalist home that I was raised in was not only rigid laws, but grace mixed into this.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a youngster, I could see that there was something not right with this whole mixture. And how can I describe this? Basically, my life revolved around a divided world. Those that
sure.
were making it into heaven, those that were destined for hell.
Sure.
And yet the grace message, which was playing around in my heart, if not in my indoctrinated mind, was telling
right.
me, you know, a lot of these rigid rules just could not always hold true, such as you're describing right here. Here's
sure.
a man that has committed murder, but how much was he responsible for that? And of course, we can extend that from God's perspective. I mean, what's God's IQ? And as he looks down here at us as human beings, how much are we responsible for our behaviors? And if we can't see
wow.
the bigger picture, Does that mean we can maybe somehow slip in with grace? Anyway, I'm jumping around.
No, this is
made, though. We don't have to be responsible if there's a rule. We can just say, I'm sorry, rule number 42 says you got to go.
Oh, yes, you know? Correct. That's right.
So I don't have to think about it. I can just inaugurate the use of this rule over here, and I don't have to be responsible for anything that I do, because all I have to do is just live within the framework of this set of rules over here. That completely disavows my being responsible for anything. So it's a liability that we live in, not a responsibility if we're running by the rules.
Correct. That was the rule. That was the world that I grew up in. And
right. So the issue, guys, on the table right now is that whether it be a guy, as you said, Chris, who it was way under the average IQ, or
right.
Because I know Pep so well, way over the average IQ, but yet raised in a very rigid religious mindset. How important is it? And the question of what is God's IQ? I mean, if we – all right, let's say we shouldn't have killed this guy just based on the fact that he had an IQ of 61 versus 70,
right.
or IQ of less
right.
than 70. If we even have the thought, Chris, that maybe we should be lenient or gracious, if you will, to somebody that's got less than IQA, how much more gracious would that potentially make the creator of the universe, whose IQ has got to be, like infinite?
Absolutely. In fact, further than that, I would argue this. He sends his son because he loves the world, right?
Right.
And Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved.
Yes.
So in that sense, God's given an infinite amount of grace and non-condemning. Now, if God can give infinite grace, certainly I could, instead of say, slapping the guy on the wrist and just sending him back in the world, I could say, you know what, I don't have complete control over everything, and maybe the best I can do for this guy is to save him and himself in terms of his inability to think straight in the public sector, and let's put him into jail, all right?
Right.
But furthermore, for a person like that, we should have dealt with his mental incapacity before we even got that far. But we're so far away from taking care of our own citizens that at a certain point, we have 50% of all the people in the United States that are in jail are actually mental health care patients.
Wow.
50%.
Do you know where you got that statistic? That's an amazing statistic.
Yeah, you can find that online everywhere. There's nothing new. We've got about 2 million people who are in jail at any given time in the United States, I think I admit that might be the gross amount of people that are in jail in the United States, 2 million people. I'm not sure what
Chris,
the average is per day. It's variable.
Do you see a parallel here with this mentality of what's coming down in America, those people that have been incarcerated, the parallel with a evangelical conservative approach and worldview of God?
The thing is when you start trying to, this is my mediator self coming out, when you start trying to nail down a specific group and say, let's blame them or let's categorize this group, right? To me, what happens is you lose your constituency because right off the bat, what you do is you isolate people. I would take it from a different vantage point, okay? Let me just switch gears and give another metaphor. Let's talk for a second about the hurricane that happened this last 2 weeks over Chick-fil-A, all right? The problem to me, and from my point of view, for those people who are listening, maybe some people know about it, some people don't, but one of the major players for Chick-fil-A came out and said that they supported, Chick-fil-A supports as a Christian company, the traditional marriage form, and that the gays should not be able to have marriage ceremony. They wouldn't be able to have a legal marriage. And that's a point of view. It's an opinion, and I appreciate that. And America is built on the thought that you can have an opinion. Everybody gets them. It's free of charge. I think that's a wonderful thing that he can espouse that. I connected that with two things. The very first thing was, if you're a Christian company and this is what your protocol is to make sure that you isolate a group of people that are your constituency, that is your clients, you might as well go out, all out, and let's take that group, because like the gays are only 15 million people in the United States, tops. But if you brought in, say, for example, the one-parent families, which if family values are the real issue here, then let's talk about one-parent families where you have parents that either never got married or they divorced. Either one of those would be not acceptable from the traditional point of view. And so now you have another 35 million people, including all these kids. Now, I noticed that that group of people wasn't really included in that group. And so what I noted online was that there are 615 regulations and principles in the Bible. And if you followed all those, in fact, all the people in the United States would be seen as people that were unacceptable for clientele for yep. Chick-fil-A. But Chick-fil-A came back and said, oh, no, we serve everybody. That is, they'll take anybody's money,
right.
But they just want to make sure that not everybody gets the same rights. And so I really took issue with that. To me, it's a political point of view. It's an opinion. I put it out there. Some people really didn't like that, and they took me to task about that and said that I wasn't being very genuine and open and honest and letting people have an opinion. But that's okay. That's their opinion. The other thing is I thought it was disingenuous to take money from people that you're not allowing to have full access to a legal standing that other people are allowed to have. And so I thought if they're going to be genuine and honest and authentic about their feelings concerning gays, they should put up a sign and say, we really don't think that we should serve you. We don't want your money. Your money's no good here because we don't really. But they're not going to do that for 15 million people, even though it's a small slice of the United States. I'm sure that there are probably some, maybe 5 million people that are gay or are pro-gay or are.
But I know this for a fact. I know this for a fact that a disproportionate amount of gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual people like waffle fries. I know this. I know this for a fact. Okay. This is Glenn Kline.
I'd like to see you to work on that.
This is Glenn Kline. So would I. This is Glenn Kline Online. That is Chris Harrington calling us from Houston tonight. We got Pep Washburn in central Wisconsin. All right, you guys. So, you know, we're beating around the bush here a little bit, but I got to ask you, Pep, whether it be a man who has got a lower than average IQ or legislators who are making laws that say that we're going to put certain people to death and certain people not to death based on their intelligence quotient. People that are making laws and decisions, whether it be the CEO of Chick-fil-A or the president of the Gay Rights Association of the United States or whomever it is, how much better off would everybody be if they understood that everybody, whether they had heinous opinions or not, whether they were murderers or not, whether they were gay, straight, conservative, liberal, black, white, brown, yellow, red, green, whoever they were actually perfect and righteous at all time from the time that they were conceived. How much more effective, you know, one of the things, you know, Chris talked about earlier, the difference between religiosity and spirituality. One of the definitions that we've learned over time of spirituality is to be rational, logical, and vital in your mental disposition. How much more rational and logical would it be if everybody actually understood the enormity of the righteousness of God that has been spread throughout humanity for the last two millennia?
Well, that brings up the point, how much of what we go through then is in actuality just a political move or a business move to kind of rally the troops so that in the moment you can get something done. I noticed that every 4 years they up the ante about gays, and it's this and this and this about gays. But then in between, all right, if you look at the last 40, 50 years, it's been a struggle, but at the same time you have more and more openness about people being gay and about gay marriage. And so eventually over time, I think John Stewart the other night said, I'll give it 10 years and we'll have, you know, open access for gay marriage across the United States. I don't know that it's going to be that soon, but it seems to me over time that it's not as big an issue as it was.
Well, no, that's almost
women have the vote,
right?
And black
right, we're
have
going
civil
in that
rights.
Direction. We're going in that direction.
And over time, it's just going to blow over.
And I think certainly I agree. I know Pep agrees with it too. I'm sure, but Pep, I got to come back to the question. The question is, what would society look like if everybody was actually, as opposed to what you were raised in that schizophrenic grace and rules dominated.
Right.
What if everybody was told from day one
that we
believe in God and we believe that everybody's good to go in God, and now we have rules in the state of Wisconsin or Texas or Hawaii or Florida or wherever, and each family has rules. But as far as God is concerned, you are perfect, and you are. What would be the influence? What would be the effect?
Well, you had mentioned earlier the vital mental. Logical disposition, I think I
right,
got that.
Right, rational.
In the ballpark there. I was not allowed to utilize that. To me, that attribute is present in all human beings, but it is marginalized. Mine was marginalized by my fundamentalist upbringing. I was not allowed to have a vital, that is life-giving, mental disposition towards all human beings, because I was indoctrinated to divide the world into this crowd and that crowd. It's either an in or an out. So even though I could see a loving, kind human being here, if that person was gay, oh, sorry, you're in that group.
Right. Or even they might have, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things that caused me to come out of Christianity was this Jewish guy I knew was the best Christian that I had ever met. And he wasn't a Christian.
Gandhi.
He was so giving and honest and truthful and hardworking and such a good friend, and yet he would not make a profession of Christ. And yet
right.
He was the best Christian I knew, and he was a non-believing Jewish guy. And
so that's your heart.
Let's ask this question. What is in it for people to be angry? In terms of their being judgmental of other people and taking up an offense for God, what is in it for them? Why bother to do that? Why do they do that? It happens, so the question is why.
So what's your answer, Chris Harrington?
I think that they're doing it because they feel like they have to cover their own backs.
Right, and that's why we
exactly.
do it. Right,
exactly.
Isn't that why, Chris?
It's the case of the emperor's new clothes.
Isn't
Everybody
that why we do everything?
Believe it.
Chris, isn't that why we do everything?
Yeah.
We do everything. You guys, if you're acting ugly with somebody, or if somebody is acting ugly with you, it's because of how they're feeling about themselves. It's got really, I mean, they may have a legitimate beef with you, but if they're acting ugly with you, it's because how they're feeling about themselves. And what we've been suggesting on this radio program on Wednesday nights in its various variations over the last 7 years is that there's a better way to think, and that thinking actually brings you out of that projection mentality where you're projecting your own inadequacy, you're projecting your own guilt and your own judgment and your own disgust with yourself. Chris, how many times have we seen people, we're talking about the gay rights movement here, how many times have we seen the people that have been the most vehement against homosexuality actually be gay themselves?
In the end, I think that's happened quite a bit because you've got to reject it so other people don't start looking at you. Many people who were married ended up being gay, and the thing is that they had to cover it up by, you know, having a wife so that, or even kids, so that it looked like they were, you know, not gay. I think that's a very interesting thing, that we cause people to actually reject a part of themselves in order to play the game of, I'm in the circle, I'm in the magic group.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to report tonight that there's a better way of thinking.
Amen.
And come on, preach it, brother. There's a better way of thinking, you guys. It's verified in the ancient text that Yeshua, the aforementioned Jesus, his real name was Joshua, by the way, said that was Holy Writ, Holy Scripture. If there is a creator that created the universe, is it possible that he set this thing up and then released it in the same way that he set up the earth and it's on its axis and rotating in the galaxy around the sun and the moon and the stars? Is it possible? And we're suggesting it is, as we do on this webcam. Chris, you mentioned your mediator perspective. If people want or desire mediation in their life, how can they get in touch with you?
Best place is to contact me on Facebook, Chris Harrington, and you'll see my logo there. It's an orange square with a purple circle and a green triangle and a yellow circle in the middle. And it's very easy to find on the internet, or you can Google Running Turtle 87, which is my online persona, and I'm everywhere on the web. Over a million words this last year.
Over a million words, this guy. And believe me, he's
a busy little beaver, a busy little turtle.
You are a busy little running turtle. Chris Harrington is H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. You guys Google him, Facebook him. And of course, you can also Facebook Pep Washburn. Just go to my site, just Glenn Klein. You'll see both Chris and Pep on there. You guys, thank you so much.
Okay.
Sure.
Love you, people.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, love you, too.
Okay, there goes Pep Washburn and Chris Harrington. Oh, man, we're just getting going, and we got to go. Thanks, Seanich. Much appreciated. Want to also thank Steve Trueblood for phoning in. He could have gotten, especially with what he was getting into, he could have got seriously into this conversation. Steve Trueblood, 2012 MauiHempFest.com. Chris Harrington, Chris Harrington's Reality, Pep Washburn, the medicine man for the great state of Wisconsin. Hope you enjoyed it. Please recommend us to your friends at GlennKleinOnline.com. You get the newsletter there. The archives are there. Let us hear from you on Facebook. And until next time, this would be the aforementioned Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!